Hello once more. This is Cyril Stevens from Christmas Valley. I was glad to hear from a cousin of mine that they can hear this program in England. And when you listen to those bells ringing, and it always thrills my heart to listen to them, by the way, they are the bells of St. Mary's in a little town called Chesham in Buckinghamshire, England. We lived there for 10, 11, 12 years. The Lord blessed our ministry, and it was a time of great testing and tremendous experiences that brought us near to the Lord Jesus, and our children were all born there, and we enjoyed the presence of the Lord Jesus as a family. We had lots of things in common, and we had a lot of things that we wanted to share with one another. And as our family has grown older, we have got elderly and so on, we have always rejoiced in the Lord, though there have been some very trying times. I want to ask you to turn with me to Philippians 1 and verse 27, where the apostle says, "Let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind striving together for the faith of the gospel." Now, this is a terrific statement. Oh, I wish I had hours to talk to you about it. I'm going to bounce quickly through some of the teaching here. Look at verse 8 with me. "The Lord Jesus, found in fashion as a man, humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." The psalmist says, if people won't rejoice in the Lord, if people won't rejoice and sing his praise, well, listen to the forest, because the trees clap their hands. And then he talks again of the rocks, and he says the rocks will cry out. The creation of God will cry out. The creation of God will sing. As I was once traveling through a very deep valley of rocks in North Wales, climbing slowly but persistently till I reached the crown of the piece of rock I wanted to get up. As I was going up these rocks and listening, I thought, like Elijah, I thought, "I hear a voice." Now, I don't think I really did. It was my imagination. But it was as if God were speaking through the cracks in the rock. And I remember standing absolutely still to listen to what he said. On another occasion, I was in the army at the time, and after my night duty, I went out and I climbed up the mountain a little way, and I laid between some rocks, and as I was laying in these rocks, I thought I could hear God talking. Now you're going to say I'm crazed, and I don't have my feet on the ground, or you're going to say something like that. Don't bother. I'm telling you a personal experience. For at that moment, I must have fallen asleep. Now, the sun was rising at that point over the sea, and I was looking out at the sea, and I dozed off, and the next thing I remember, the sun was setting over the mountains. And I had to hustle to get back into camp so that I could take up my night duties again. Interesting. During the time I think I was asleep, it was as if God spoke to me. Now here I was, 19 years old. I felt that God was speaking to me and telling me that I should read his word, because I was to preach his word, and I was to preach the word to all kinds of people in all parts of the world. After about 15 years of preaching in America and England, I hadn't travelled much further. But suddenly, there was a window open of opportunity for me to preach in India, and then Brazil. So it went on, and suddenly I was preaching in all parts of the world as well as preaching here in America. And how blessed I've been, and how blessed God has used the Word of God. Strange things happen in the rocks. But I have often thought, what would happen if man would not sing? I remember on one occasion I was in the valley that's beside Mount Sinai in Israel, and it didn't dawn on me that people slept in those rocks. I had no idea. But here I was, I thought, totally alone. I saw the sun start to glimmer in the low part of the mountain that was opposite me, and I was thrilled. I thought to myself, Moses saw this, and I'm seeing it. How wonderful! I'm going to see the glory of God shine on Mount Sinai, just as Moses and all the other prophets and all the other men and women of Israel of those early days. And as the sun got brighter and brighter and brighter, I couldn't control myself. I burst into singing in the loudest possible way, and the glory from Handel's Messiah and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. And I sang, and the more I sang, people started appearing behind the rocks, and I realized I'd woken them up. All these nomadic-type people were asleep in the rocks, but I couldn't stop singing. It was a strange, wonderful experience. And I felt as if those rocks spoke their own sermons. I thought they sang their own songs. The cacophony of sound seemed to be so glorious. Oh, I sat in those rocks singing, not as loudly anymore, but I'd already woken up the neighborhood. And the Lord blessed in different ways. Even the rocks will praise God. I like to yodel, and sometimes I used to go into the mountains and just yodel and listen to the echo of the yodeling. The yodel would bounce off the rocks that were higher than I was or were further away than I thought, and I would hear the noise of the yodeling coming back. How beautiful it is! But that's not what the Word of God speaks of. The rocks themselves will sing, and they will praise God. Have you thought of this? We're told that we can't do a lot of things today. We can't say the Lord's Prayer at school. We can't do this, and we can't do that. We mustn't talk about Jesus. We can talk about God, because God is a generic name for all the gods that are in the world and so on. What a load of rubbish. I will sing of the name of the Lord. I will lift up his name. It's a name that is above all names. All names. Look at verse 10 of this second chapter, and you will realize with me surely that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. In other words, we sing and say in our singing and praise, we bring glory to God because God created in the beginning. And we thank him for this creation. And we know that this whole creation eventually will bow in the presence of Jesus, because he's the King of Kings, he's the Lord of all, and he is the one that created with the Father all things that we call the world. Now, this is a great big subject, and people are going to argue about it, and I dare say I'm going to step on a toe or two by saying what I'm saying. But I'm doing this so deliberately so that you will understand that if you won't praise God, rocks will. If you won't lift up your voice in praise to God, why, the trees will clap their hands. And I think it's remarkable that God has arranged this. There are many things to be said about this, but one of the things is that every knee shall bow. That is, the person who is offended because of the word or the name Jesus. Well, the name Jesus means Saviour, and the word Saviour means Saviour of the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him, Jesus, should not perish but have everlasting life. So at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, of things in heaven. The angels bowed and sang his praises. Oh, yes, they did. We've just celebrated Christmas and the angels showed up 400 years after the Holy Spirit had been removed from the temple in Jerusalem. Ezekiel tells us about that. He said he saw the glory of God depart 400 years later. Shepherds watching their flocks by night, all seated on the ground, were awakened and were aware of a heavenly host that sang, "Glory to God in the highest." What a word that is. Peace on earth. Oh, wouldn't we love to hear that? Goodwill toward all men. Wouldn't that be beautiful? Wouldn't it be absolutely stunning if all these words that the angels sang that night to the shepherds would come to fruition while we were alive on this earth? But every knee shall bow, whether he is a president or she is a president, whether it is that there is a king or a queen on a throne, or whether it's the peasant of the street, the boy that is in Chicago ghetto, or the girl that is trying to survive all the things that have happened to her in some ghetto of one of our bigger cities, whether it's those people or whether it's the people that are middle class or high class. I don't think there are many high class people, because we're all desperately in need. It doesn't matter where we place ourselves sociologically. What matters is, are we loving Jesus? And the apostle seems to think and to understand when he says these words, it is God, for God is working in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. Do all things without murmuring, without disputing, that ye may be blameless and harmless and the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice of service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. For the same cause also do ye joy and rejoice in me. He's talking of something that most people miss. It really doesn't matter whether we live or die. What matters is that we are a people who are living for Jesus, and we are a people who work to do his good pleasure, and we do it without murmuring, without disputing, without any of those things that defer criticism. We do it because the Lord Jesus says we are to be blameless, harmless people, sons of God, people that can't be rebuked. Oh, people will rebuke us, but they have to make it up. There was a time in my life when someone took a dislike to me, a very great dislike for some reason, and I still can't work out what it was. and I have no idea what happened. But anyway, that's beside the point. They rebuked me. The rebuke stung very badly. I didn't know what to do with myself for quite some time. Unfortunately for me, when I get into a situation similar to that, I won't answer people. I remain quiet until I can work things out. This particular thing I've never worked out, and I don't even know if my accuser is alive or dead anymore, though I have made effort to discover him. You see, we live in a crooked and perverse generation, and the nation in which we live is crooked and perverse, and among whom we shine as lights in the world. Now, we don't have to answer. One of the silliest things that we do is we justify ourselves. It's better not to justify yourself, but let Jesus justify you. Jesus will pull you through. You may be wrong. You may be corrected. He may allow somebody to rebuke you and correct you. That's okay. Be rebuked. Fix what he thinks or she thinks is a problem with you. Don't argue the issue. Thank them for pointing out your defects and get on with your life. Repent if repentance is necessary. Be right. Change your tune. Alter your vocabulary. Whatever is necessary, just do it. Don't let people stumble all over the place because of you. But understand this, we are in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. And I don't know where you can see more crookedness and more perverseness than in the politics of our day. It is the most disgusting array of man's ignorance of God. We are hearing so many things that are nothing to do with the things of God, and we wonder why our country is taking a pitch and is being hurt and damaged. And if you stop for a moment and look into your own heart, you can quickly see why. We are living in a crooked and perverse nation. People like to twist the truth. People enjoy being crooked. People do things that are wrong. Now, it's all very well to say that, but do I join that crew? Do I join that group of people that are crooked and perverse? We are to present ourselves before the Lord without murmuring and disputing, blameless and harmless. We are the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of this crooked and perverse nation, among whom we shine as lights in the world. We are lights. We are lights. A couple of years ago, I bought a car and it has automatic headlights. It's a remarkable thing. A clever thing that the electronic people have come up with. And I shine. My lights shine. A friend of mine has an older car and the covering to his lens has become very dull. And so I said, I've got some stuff that you can rub on that and make your lights shine as if it's brand new. Oh, I don't want that to happen. Well, why? Don't you want to be seen? Don't you want to see better? No, but I don't want to do that. Well, it won't cost you anything. I've got some paste here, and it works wonders. No, I don't want it. And so I have to listen to the complaint that I can't see in the dark. I can't come and visit. I can't go and visit because I can't see in the dark. One day I turned up with the paste and with the rag ready to polish it and make it nice, but they caught me before I could do any work. Oh, I was told, you just leave that alone. So I did. And the complaint still goes on. Who's to blame? The person that owns the car, who won't have it fixed right. Now, we as Christians are to be blameless. That is, if the polish has gone off the lens, we need to get the polish back on the lens. We need to polish the lens. No point in having a light that doesn't shine. And it's a sad business when we come to a place where we don't understand that we are to shine. Shine as lights. Shine as lights. So many Christians are negative. They walk around with a negativity. that is such a destructive thing. And it's so sad because there's no need to be so destructive at all. There is no need not to be a shining light for the Lord Jesus. I now take you over the page into the third chapter of Philippians. I remark this way about this crooked and perverse nation. And this is what I would say with the apostle. He says it's not grievous to be alive, but for you it is safe. Then he says, verse 2, beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of concision. Now, this is all worldly, and this is all produced by worldly attitudes. Concision and circumcision was the tradition of man. It's been carried on over the centuries by various groups, and I want to say this to you, it doesn't matter. You will find that people will get hot under the collar and talk about this sort of thing. It absolutely brings no joy to the Lord Jesus. But the Apostle Paul gets down to the fact that he has been a rotter. He has taken children, women, men, and confined them to prison. He has sent them from prison to the various arenas where they had to fight without any weapon against lions, tigers, fierce bears, animals of all sorts, and sometimes with gladiators. And they had no hope of ever winning. And Paul is, in a sense, bedeviled by this. It's still there. He did it. He knew he did it, just as David knew he'd committed adultery with Bathsheba. But how do you get out of this awkward situation? The Apostle Paul says he has come to a place, verse 7 of the third chapter, what things were gained to me, those I counted lost for Christ. In other words, I don't want to be a senior partner in the Sanhedrin Council. I no longer have ambitions as a lawyer. I have no longer any ambition to be what I wanted to be. I want to be what Jesus wants me to be. And I want to stand in the strength that he supplies through his eternal Son. He goes on in verse 10 now, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. There isn't time for me to explore this properly in this program, so maybe we'll continue. But let me say to you, power of resurrection. The power of resurrection is the mercy seat of God. I will meet you there, Jehovah Shammah. We read this in Ezekiel and chapter 48 and verse 35. God will meet us in the power of resurrection. He will meet us at the mercy seat. We will be there because Jesus is our resurrection. Jesus is our hope. Jesus is the one to whom all the saints, the believers in the Lord, come. Will you now turn to him? Will you now love him? Will you now come upon him and ask him, wash me clean, that I may be clean as snow? Will you now turn to the Lord Jesus Christ and adore him? Let the rocks cry out in praise and the trees clap their hands in joy. But you, are you in Jesus? That I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Have you grasped that? There is no greater power that God has put upon this earth than the resurrection power of Jesus. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, let this power loose this year. Let it loose in our churches. Let it loose in our families. Let it loose in our personalities. Let it loose in our lives, that we may stand resurrected, powerful, in the presence of this world. Lights that shine. Oh, Lord, bless this word to our hearts, please. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, thank you for listening. The Lord bless you and have a great new year. Bye-bye.